Welcome to the SkyTerra podcast, where we are empowering your business to do more. I'm your host, Deborah McIsaac. Every other week, we'll explore the world of technology, what has changed, how it might impact your business, and why it matters to you. We will bring you interviews with business and industry leaders and discuss how technological advances impact your business and our lives. Whether you're a tech enthusiast, a professional in the field, or just curious about the future, this podcast is for you. So grab your headphones and join us on this exciting journey into the world of technology. Let's get started.
Hello, welcome to the SkyTerra podcast. My name is Deborah McIsaac. I oversee sales strategy with SkyTerra, and I have two of my favorite people here today for our podcast. One is Ronnie Serrano. He is our senior IT manager over at Hertz on Fire, one of our longtime clients at SkyTerra Technologies. And then, of course, we have Dan Bergeron, one of our co-founders. We're going to talk about long-term relationships and why you should consider one with SkyTerra Technologies. Ronnie, if you would do me a favor and just talk a little bit about how you met SkyTerra. How did you run into us and what was going on in your organization that made you seek us out?
It's funny because I was looking back. Dan, I think you founded the company in 2015?
Yes.
Right. I think we started a relationship like in July of 2015. Dan had finished working for another company and had started SkyTerra. We had worked with Dan previously, and out of the blue, I called him. I don't know if you remember this. You were at BPL that day for something.
Yes.
Boston Public Library. So I asked him a couple of questions, and he's like, you know, you got time for lunch? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? When a vendor takes you out, guess where Dan took me?
Remember? McDonald's.
Deb, you were close. We ended up at Five Guys that day. Dan laughed and he was kind of sitting there going, well, you know, we're a new company, so we don't have big budgets yet. Okay. Sat down, we talked about where the direction of SkyTerra was going, what it was, what his idea was for it, explained how Darren was part of it and stuff like that. At the time, we were working with a vendor who was very hardware driven. They were getting pushed around by the big boys looking for quotas. We had already migrated to Office 365. Probably about a year or two before that. And they just, I don't think they understood the cloud or where it was going. And I think that's where Dan came in. For the next year and a half, Dan was in our office every 2 to 3 months with updates of things that were changing on the Microsoft side. This was very early on. All of a sudden it was Intune and it was SharePoint stuff. And, you know, we were leveraging it mostly for Exchange at first. The other big one was once we had a couple of phishing things go through, and then it was looking at dual factor or multi-factor authentication and putting those things in place the first, you know, couple of years when we hadn't even thought about them. Even all of that has evolved since then. Dan was really patient and came in every couple of months just to keep us going. The other thing is back then, Microsoft was offering a lot of, I don't know if you call them spiffs or what they were for trying out different products and things like that. We're a small company, so we didn't have a ton of money. So Dan was able to apply for a lot of that stuff. As the money came in, we then turned around and rolled it right back into SkyTerra's.
Nice.
So it was a great way to build the relationship. He got paid, which was probably nice for him. I'm sure Darren was happier about that.
It's very true.
It gave us a lot of exposure to the different team members they had working at the time. So kind of how it all started.
And then one of the things was, it was during the infancy of the cloud. Microsoft came out with BPOS and 365 several years earlier. But to Charani's point, this is when Intune and multi-factor, single sign-on, all those pieces were starting to come out and have some legs. And what he saw some needs in his organization, but what the side benefit was helping secure his organization, right? And we weren't specifically talking about a security solution for him. We weren't talking about endpoint management. We weren't talking about anything that, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about, like specifically because we weren't pushing security for security's sake or endpoint management for anything. It was more that there were subtle things in the licensing that really would have benefited him. One of the things that Darren often says is that security is in our DNA. And that conversation we were having with Ronnie at the time, where it was all about securing their environment. Earlier on, he was saying the big boys were talking security, but they were just talking about firewalls and endpoints. That's selling product, not really holistic security business. And you fast forward to today and you see the MSSP solutions out there, sort of what we were talking about back then, securing the holistic body of Arts on Fire. And it's something that has well suited them. And we even took it another stage further when you were saying, hey, you know what? We put email hygiene with Mimecast. It's been great. But how do you get people to identify these things? So we ended up putting know before in and, you know, having that conversation with the end users and training and getting them is like, I like to say, you can't fix stupid, but you can mitigate it. You have to feel sorry for these end users. They get these phishing emails and they're sophisticated, right? They will make stupid mistakes. I'm not saying that the users are stupid, but they will fall for really sophisticated things. And they do feel a little stupid at times. But with helping with cyber awareness program with know before, I mean, Ronnie, you were doing that before most people were doing it. It was a big win for you guys.
Oh, that was huge. Honestly, one thing to step back is Dan was never a salesperson. And I don't consider SkyTerra a vendor. It's more of a partner. And I say that because all those conversations, it wasn't coming in to show off a product. It was more coming in, listening to what we had going on. And the other thing is just catching us up, like the soap opera of As the World Turns in Microsoft with the cloud back then. Because it seemed like every month, every 2 months, there was some other development in that. It's even harder now to keep up. But back then, it was manageable to a point. But where you had more of an inside track, that helped us a lot planning and stuff.
Right.
The other thing is the add-on products over the years. The Mimecast, the KnowBefore, they were all pieces. And you're right, we never really thought of it as a security strategy. Mm-hmm. We just saw it as different pieces we needed to kind of pull it all together. In the beginning, it was very easy to just kind of push out a couple of things. And then you have actually had some great people on staff that have dove into that product and found a lot of different pieces to it that most people don't think about. Putting together the automated strategies, the phishing tests, we didn't always have time to jump into it. And I think that's where my one downfall is, I wish we had the dollars to do the more full managed services with you guys over the years. Having somebody who is kind of like that, a product expert that could follow along on that thing. And as the product evolves, have the strategy evolve. That's a huge thing that you guys have. She's been kind enough to share a lot of things over the years and pointers. That's always helped. You guys do the same thing with, I think Derek's on Intune, among other things. Darren is another one who is just all over the place when it comes to Exchange. You have those product experts that, as those products evolve, really have helped us. And the other thing is, don't say this to, you know, Darren, but, you know, you guys don't start the clock ticking every time someone calls you. It's not like, oh, you got a 3-minute conversation. Great. We just billed you for 15 minutes or a half hour. Sometimes you guys will answer a question, take, and then look at, is this a bigger engagement? Is this something big going on? And then go from there.
Ronnie, I really appreciate you saying that, because it's not just to Dan's point that our services are holistic, but they're also humanistic. And so I really do appreciate you pointing that out, because our subject matter experts are definitely qualified without question, but they also understand our customers. And there's generally a culture of not selling technology for technology's sake. I think Dan said that earlier, but rather we're here to solve problems and make our customers' lives easier. It's really nice to hear your origin story, because I didn't realize it was a low and slow approach where we were layering protections and creating a foundation for you. I think that's really telling, because 10 years later, we're still doing that process and putting our customer first, looking at their problems and trying to solve their problems. It is the foundation of the services that we offer at SkyTerra.
I think that's a perfect point of everybody that's come in, whether it's been Dan, Darren, Derek, all the D's, they don't come in and say, okay, tell us what the problem is, we'll fix it. It's more of, they do the background work to see what you're getting at. The problem isn't you got fish and that you have to deal with that. That's a symptom. The problem is your users aren't trained. So what can we do to help that side of it? You know, one of the big things was Dan and his team, more the soft sell. They don't come in and just say, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. It's, here's a shopping list of ideas that'll help solve the problem. Like, it's not just, we need to put in MFA. We need to look at why people are getting hacked. Why are they getting phished and how vulnerable they are? So maybe we need to look at another product to bring in. And that's where KnowBefore came in. A lot of that has been the approach from SkyTerra. It's never been, you need to buy this. It's been, here are some options. Here are some things that you want to grow into. Budget accordingly. Start somewhere, though.
I believe we coined that the Microsoft journey that we do with our clients, right, Dan?
Well, I was going to say, it's more just a journey. One of the things is, and Roddy has seen it as well, we also don't walk in lockstep with Microsoft. Time and time again, you know, the reason he had reached out to me originally was because of that I was a Microsoft person. He was challenging the Microsoft side of things. But the reality is it's an enterprise discussion, right? Funny enough, we really hit it off originally back in the day with talking about Veeam in disaster recovery. You were being sold a very complicated, expensive backup solution in disaster recovery. You guys needed disaster recovery in a really bad way. Where you and I hit it off at that time was that, you know, I said, let's talk to Veeam. Let's bring in the Veeam folks and chat with you. And I think there's a better way to do disaster recovery for your organization. And Ronnie was like, oh my God, you just saved me $500,000. It was like $500,000 change in the scope of the project.
You're telling me because you came in and just had an honest conversation with your customer, you saved them $500,000?
I think he's exaggerating. It was probably closer to $250.
Not bad, gentlemen.
We're still a Veeam customer. We've expanded our use of Veeam with SkyTerra over the years, but back then it was the replication piece. That's what Dan turned me on to. And introductions to, was it Gaylord?
Yeah, Gaylord Friend.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, you're 100% right, Dan.
It was great. And you know, we see this time and time again with our customers where it's a journey. It's a pragmatic journey. Doing things that are core to our idea of solutions, right? And Deborah actually calls me the Gapster. So this nickname I have internally. Now it's out, I guess it's externally. But
the word is out.
The word is out. Ronnie, you kind of said it, right? There's an issue that you're coming with. It's not about technology. Let's figure out the root cause. Let's get you in simple little things. And it doesn't mean that it's a massive product or a massive migration. And it doesn't have to happen tomorrow, right? So sometimes it was, hey, let's budget for this next year or the next time there's a cycle that occurs. And your company's gone through a lot of changes and talking about strategies on how to deal with changes with the international components, et cetera. And there's a lot of strategic discussions. I mean, Ronnie and I have had hundreds and hundreds of hours of discussions over the years. And those are just strategic discussions. They're not things that we charge for, because this is a two-way relationship. And one of the things I want to hit on is that we go to Ronnie on things, right? Hey, guess what? We're hearing a scenario. Have you run into this? Or what have you seen in the real world? Because unfortunately, I'm now not in the enterprise space, right? So although our company is getting to be fairly large and we do run into enterprise level issues, he's a good sounding board. It's a two-way discussion on stuff like that. And we both value that.
I'm really glad you pointed that out, because it really points out that SkyTerra doesn't seem to be on the hill of the expert that knows all the things and that they cross-check with their customers to ensure that what they're hearing is indeed the trend in the marketplace, and the cross-verifying the experiences of our customer base. I think the tide raises all ships, if you will.
Yep. Yeah.
I think another thing I like about SkyTerra is a lot of the staff that you have working for you, Dan, they're not lifelong consultants. Most of them have come out of, whether it's small and medium space or the enterprise space, too many consultants I've seen over the years that come in, get something done and walk away. your team has had to live with things they've built, processed, and put together and planned. It's a different type of experience on how they refine what they put in. You've had a lot of people that I think from your old job come over to SkyTerra. You've had a bunch of people from small and medium companies that have come in that really bring more of that type of environment, as opposed to somebody who's been a consultant for the last 15 or 20 years, goes in, does an exchange migration, leaves, doesn't have to deal with, oh, well, you know, the clients are doing this or it's doing that. These guys are people that have seen most of that and can have that discussion ahead of time. That's a big difference than some of the companies out there. And I'm sure there's a tipping point after a while where you've become a consultant for too long, but, you know, cutting your teeth on that makes a big difference.
And to your point, it really does change the customer experience, because when you're dealing with our subject matter experts, they've sat in your chair. They've dealt with the problems that you've dealt with. They've done the evenings, they've done the weekends, and they have a comprehensive understanding of the gotchas. So that way, when we're advising you in your projects, we can try to avoid them as much as possible because they've already lived through them. One of my favorite things to share with our prospects is that our engineers are not reading the manuals when they're doing your project. These are things that we've done over and over, and we have honed some best practices within our organization to ensure that our customers bear the benefit of those efficiencies as well as the expertise.
There's no manual anymore. There's no documentation anywhere. If you find documentation, it was rewritten for a product that was 3 months ago, and that doesn't count anymore.
Right. And if you ask AI, it'll give you two different answers in 2 minutes.
It depends on which AI. The LLMs do not all agree.
You need to get both of them to talk to each other. That way you can just, they can fight it out.
Wouldn't that be fun? That would be fun.
And honestly, I mean, Ronnie and I, 10 years ago was that changeover to the cloud, right? And that the cloud had become real. So SkyTerra wasn't really well poised for it at the time. And our approach to it at the time really fit with Ronnie and many of our customers. I went back to an envisioning document I did for another customer, and I couldn't believe that we were still following the map that we had provided them in 2016, which was really cool. I knew they were slow adopters, but I didn't think that we would actually have finished that journey in that amount of time anyway. But Ronnie and I have started this other discussion as of late where, you know, with the AI generation and where things are going with AI in his company, where things are going in AI with our organization, and, you know, how we were just joking around that you get multiple answers, but quite honestly, we know that when we've talked about this, it's not about artificial intelligence, right? It's about automation intelligence. Ronnie and I have had a lot of discussions about this, and his insight in the enterprise of, you know, how he's going to envision automating things in his organization and how SkyTerra is envisioning themselves in the future, right? And that kind of collaboration, that journey is helping both of us out. And it's going to put SkyTerra in the forefront, as well as Ronnie and his organization in the forefront of adoption, because we think about it differently. We joke around and say, AI is being thrown out like everybody wants a self-driving car, but that's not what they want. They want better data to make better decisions. So that's where we need to go, is getting that data to make better decisions at the right time and providing the end users some information, some automation, learn from them and streamline things, right? It's not as black and white as the cloud. When we were going to the cloud and say, I need an endpoint issue, I need multi-factor. This is purely troubleshooting, problem solving. It's going to be something that we need to continue working with these great relationships like Ronnie, because it can't happen by ourselves.
Dan, the evolution of SkyTerra isn't necessarily to metamorphosize. It's really to continue doing what we've always done, which is finding the gaps, finding the problems, and creating solutions. And the sidebar is choosing the technology that is the best solution for our customer. And so really, even though everybody's trying to shapeshift and pivot and do all these things to incorporate AI, fundamentally, SkyTerra doesn't have to change a bit. We just need to keep doing what we've always done, which is provide solutions to our customers.
Yeah, not a huge shift. I mean, funny enough, we've all been using some sort of AI for years, right? It now has a name to it. The email hygiene in general, how they've been using heuristics is a form of AI, right? The data governance is really using some great ways to look at security in the future. But yeah, you know, a partner, a true partner is somebody that we can have great conversations with, whether it be Five Guys, or maybe I should make it a nicer place for Ronnie now.
You've made it a nicer place over the years. I could appreciate the frugality when you're starting a company.
Sure. But the reality is having those conversations, understand the customers. And that is what you got to look for a company. And, you know, when we talk to Ronnie, we eat our own dog food, right? Security.
Not insinuating that's what Five Guys makes. Let's be clear.
No, that has nothing to do with Five Guys. But when we're talking about security, we've got our SOC 2. We've had it for 4 years in a row. You look at our email hygiene. We're using the best and the latest and the greatest to help combat some of the AI phishing out there that's going on, right? We're using the technologies to optimize our own organization, which is why we might be on our weight class. And we're a 50 plus person company, and we go toe to toe with 1,000, 2,000 person companies. We use our own technology. We use our own methodologies. You know, we work with our customers. I think that's the thing we have over our competition, is that a customer is not just a customer. They're somebody that you're on a journey together.
Another key word that I would like to toss into that is agility. Because we are a smaller organization, and because of the level of expertise of our engineers, we can be very agile in creating a solution. And I can't even tell you how many times we've been in a meeting and we just bring in all the players to be able to collaborate and find the best solution for our customers. Having that level of agility is a market differentiator per SkyTerra. And, you know, definitely competing above our weight class is an everyday occurrence for us.
Those conversations have been great then. They're really thought exercises sometimes. As we've sat down and we've talked about AI, when we first started working together, I never thought of you guys strictly as a security company. The identifier was always the cloud. That was where the relationship started, and that kind of where it stuck out. Over the years, from the security piece, whether it's Mimecast, Intune, or, you know, a bunch of other products that you guys have worked with, one of the things as we talk about AI, I realize you guys more as a security company, because, you know, what people don't talk about is, oh yeah, I can flip on AI in my company and now we can start using it. Yes. And now all your data is available, which you don't know what's there. And that's the foundational piece that SkyTerra brings, to kind of look and say, hey, that's great. You can turn that on. Let's figure out a plan first. There are definitely pieces you guys have put together to help companies get there, rather than just, oh, we're going to flip this on. Or the other thing is putting together that plan on how to get there, which a lot of companies are struggling. Everybody wants to run, drive, speed before they can crawl these days when it comes to AI, because all the CEOs and the boards are saying, AI, AI, we can cut headcount and stuff like that. And the approach from you guys has been, it's a tool to help your people work smarter, not entirely to just replace your people. Right. Like, we can automate tasks and free people up to do thinking work, as opposed to getting stuck with some of the monotonous stuff that's out there, as a starting point, at least.
Ronnie, yeah. You covered something that's so critical, especially in this day and age, as different IT staffs and managers and CISOs and CTOs are trying to figure out how to take advantage of this technology. Really, where it begins is the guardrails. It starts with the why and the intent. What are you trying to do with artificial intelligence? What is the goal you hope to achieve? And then with SkyTerra, with our methodology and going back to the source, how do we create the solution rather than just plugging in the technology? And I love that you see us as a security company, because every workload we have provided services for has security running through it. It's interwoven in everything that we do. I just really appreciate that you can see that SkyTerra's approach to artificial intelligence really is a solid process that is thoughtful and keeps the customer in front and doesn't just push them into this new world without making sure that they're taken care of.
Well, the other thing is you guys stay involved in that community, whether it's strictly SkyTerra or whether it's Skylytics, hosting some of the AI conferences in New Hampshire, even if you're just hosting it in a building, you're getting a lot of it back to hear what people are doing. So you guys kind of have your ear to the ground, where other places, you're getting it from the vendor, manufacturer, whatever you want to consider, OpenAI or Microsoft, and you're not hearing all of how it's used. You're being told how they intend for it to be used, but not what people are actually experiencing. And I think that's one of the great things you guys have done, is given back in different ways like that.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of when COVID occurred, right? We were ahead of the game, not on purpose, but we saw the writing on the wall that the world is going to be more of a remote kind of place, where people are going to have that flexibility. At the beginning of COVID, when everybody had to work from home, I reached out to customers like Ronnie and said, well, why are you quiet? He goes, oh, that's because we got to work from home really quickly. Other than a couple little things that are out of your control, we were in a good position to work from home because of the forethought that you guys had in helping us move to the cloud in advance with Teams VoIP or 365. Yet that wasn't our goal, right? We were just looking to make organizations efficient. And it happened to be that most of our customers are in a good place because of that. We're seeing the same thing now with this AI movement, where a lot of the good security practices we put with SharePoint deployments and end user, when we look at an existing customer who's looking to use Copilot and doing Copilot enablement, the vendors are all saying, oh, you know, there's tons of monies in doing these big assessments of their organizations and it's weeks of work. And we look at our existing client base, we're like, we need to do a health check to ensure that things are where we think they are, right? So there's no underlying exposures that may have snuck in. The reality is the foundation has been there in our natural posture of doing secure deployments, right? That security is in our DNA type of mentality, that part of it's fine. But then you take the proactive aspect of it for the training and what Deb Walters has provided in building out training curriculums and fast starts on that side. Customers are raving about the ability to leverage those technologies in advance. It's just the way we think. I don't know what the next thing's going to be in the next 2 to 5 years, but I think it's just a natural ability of our organization to be always getting our ear to the ground, trying to think ahead. And it's a combination of everything, right? So we're not backed by big venture capitals that will allow us to be nimble. We don't have investors. We have no debt. We have that flexibility to just do the right thing, and the right things will happen. And I think that mentality across the board is something that has benefited us.
I couldn't agree more in the conversations that I have with our clientele, going back to those fundamentals again. And who knew that personas would be so critical in the age of AI? I mean, who knew permissions and all of those backend things that are literally ABC fundamentals in every implementation that we do is now the cornerstone of ensuring that your organization is secure in an artificial intelligence environment. And so it's just kind of nice to give a nod back to fundamentals, but it's not necessarily always about going Mach 5 light speed, you know, 100 miles in 7 different directions. Sometimes you need to just take a breath, look back, and ensure that you've checked all the boxes before you go to the next rung of the ladder. And I think Skytira really excels in that area.
I've only seen Dan make one really interesting mistake.
Oh my gosh, I got to hear it. You got to tell the story.
Oh, that's easy.
Ordering fries with his burger at Five Guys?
No. Have you heard of Dan's crypto mining?
Oh,
this was the funniest thing is, you know, he's like, swing by the office. He's like, oh, swing by kind of late. I got a new crypto mining rig and I'm going to try it out, this and that. We fire it up in the office. It's like, oh, this isn't bad. This is pretty good. It's not that loud. So he decides to put it in the other room and close the door and turns it on and then decides to walk away for a little while. I think it was like 2 or 3 rooms down. It was like, what is that jet engine noise? It's like, Dan, can we shut that off? We know you're testing it, but it's really loud and we're trying to have a meeting with like 12 people in it.
Yeah. I did that on purpose. You know that. But the, and
with
by the way, you should look at the markets. I think my crypto mining side business is going fairly well.
Well, it goes hand in hand with your prepper business of how to put in solar panels and generators and how to build in the middle of the woods.
I mean, future thinking is never to be doubted when it comes to Dan Bergeron.
Honestly, that's one thing that I will say. Because you were talking about slow adoption on a plan that you guys put together in 2016. I think you missed the opportunity on that to say that you guys had the forethought to build a plan that is actually working still in 2024, 2025. You're not short-sighted. That's for damn sure.
So whether or not you want someone who can wield a keyboard or wield a chainsaw, Dan Bergeron is your guy.
It truly is.
I'm trying to imagine this avatar. Shaun of the Dead-like.
Right. When I first started at SkyTerra, I remember Dan telling me, well, none of us like technology. We're just in technology. We're actually like completely other people with completely other interests. We just happen to also be in technology. And so I love that, especially on our website, when you take a look at our team members and you can slide back and forth between the pictures and see it with a pro headshot. But then you get a little insight of who we are as people. I love that about our website because the culture at SkyTerra has and always will be people first. Always people first. It's customers first. It's people first. And now I have my new phrase of we're not just holistic, we're humanistic. I'm going to have to get that on a t-shirt. I think that's really going to take off.
I still think you need like a little fire engine for Darren when he shows up for incident response.
Yeah. Oh, well, God.
That way he can wear his hat.
You want to talk about
he's got his hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can wear the hat, pull up in a little fire truck and say, yeah, we're here to put out that fire for you.
It really is just the best group of people to work with on the planet. And I hope that comes across to our customers when they're on the phone with us, because we really do have a great time and have a lot of fun. Even being a remote employee, I'm not always in the mothership, if you will, in Nashua, New Hampshire. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of ribbing. It's a good time. And hopefully that comes across to our customers.
Actually, that's a question for you, Dan. It starts at the top and it works its way down, but you guys have so many remote employees. Mm-hmm. What do you guys do to keep the culture together? Because I think that's one of the things that a lot of companies saw. You guys were more born in the cloud, but it's one of those things you saw a lot during COVID is a lot of companies dropped off on that culture. Like during that year, everybody tried doing the wine parties and this and that. But you guys, it's part of it, I'm sure, is the people you've hired, but it's also an attitude from top down.
I'm going to take a stab at this as an employee because there's definitely one differentiator that I noticed that happens consistently across the day. And then Dan, you can address it as the owner of the company. At the beginning of every meeting, for the first 3 to 5 minutes, we just talk. It's not like an allocated meeting where that's going to be what we're going to talk as people. There's usually 3 to 5 minutes at the beginning of the meeting. Everyone's just like, hey, what's up? Or nice shirt? Or what's going on there? Or, oh, hey, did you hear about this? Or someone's talking about a football game or whatever it is. And so we interweave that in every single interaction. And I think that's how it makes me feel connected since I'm not in the office every day. So that's something I'm sure it's intentional, but it feels automagical.
You know, I think it has its roots of influences from people in your life, right? Where just basically you need to surround yourself by good people. And if you do that, you're going to do better than most. It's the way my parents brought me up. Darren and I have known each other since we've been 12, right? And we've grown up together. We understand each other. We're like siblings at times, but the reality is we've been influenced by others. Jim Collins' book, From Good to Great, it's about getting the first 50 people in the organization who are A players and think the way you are. You made a lot of references to the Cindy's and the Derek's and the Tabitha's of the world. Those are all A players. And Deborah, she's here, but they're all A players. And they're
number 49. Whoop, whoop.
But just made the cut.
The reality is you can scale by doing that, right? What I really love too is I get compliments when we hire new people and the diversity here. We have a diverse culture and they're like, what have you done to have that diverse culture? I tell people it's hire the right people for the right jobs and it happens inherently. Good people encourage good people to come. I really value that. Some of the hardest departures are those that are good people that just don't fit. They're not in the right seat of the bus. I think it's a challenge for companies in the future, right? You were talking about AI and automating things. Not that they're replacing jobs, but finding those right seats, the buses adjust, right? I mean, look at yourself, Ronnie. You've adjusted with the movement to the cloud. You embraced it. You're embracing the future of everything else. And good people find ways to adjust and show their value in organizations. And surrounding yourself, not just employees, but by clients like yourself, really is what drives me, what keeps me coming to work every day.
It's true. So whether or not you really just want a cheeseburger and you want to sit down with Dan or maybe get a shake now that we've been around 10 years, there's a lot of great entry points in wanting to work with SkyTerra. To Ronnie's point, he was just looking for some friendly advice and some direction as they were trying to figure out what they wanted to do in their path. But there's some really great superpowers in SkyTerra, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that. You know, we thrive in highly regulated environments. And obviously, we've interwoven security through every offering that we provide. But in your opinion, Ronnie, if you ran into somebody trying to figure out what they wanted to do with a particular problem, what is it about SkyTerra that would make you want to recommend them outside of our great culture and our great people and our security? Is there any other strengths in there that you'd like to kind of put a note on?
I mean, you guys have had the expertise in different areas where you've been a little short. You've actually grown it. And I mean, you guys aren't a pure security play, but you've had one or two people become PCI compliance certified, that type of stuff. That was somebody who, you know, they had a knack for it. They liked it. And you guys, you know, go for it. We'll back you on it. And then we can build around it. Mm-hmm. The expertise is you don't hire people. You hire people that'll put the effort in. Not just naturally smart people in some cases. You've had a few people like that over the years who their egos have gotten in their way and you've said they're not the greatest fit, but you know, they were able to fit for a couple of projects and then it kind of came out. You guys have continued to have people that find something, they're good, and you coach them up to great. And I think that's one thing that Darren has been fantastic about. You've seen it in a lot of what he's done. I've heard him speak a few times where he doesn't want to be the smartest person in the room. And I think you guys all have that same approach where you want to take the people in the room, pull them together and actually make them better. And that's what you guys have done with a lot of your staff. You know, you take somebody who comes out of a corporate environment that's been siloed and you guys open them up to a lot more things and then give them the training, give them the support probably more than anything. So you guys have always had great staff. The other thing is with the Microsoft support over the years, when we've bumped our heads against something, we'll reach out to you guys, work with you on something. And your team knows when to step out of the way and say, you know what, we're going to go to Microsoft on this because this is a bigger issue, something we can't resolve on our own. And like I said before, you guys use the humanistic side where it's like, I'm not billing you for me making a phone call to Microsoft. Where I add value. But if I'm just sitting here on the phone as a handoff, you know, I've had companies that's what they get paid for. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. Your team knows when to get out of the way. And honestly, they don't have to get out of the way very often. It's more of a Microsoft issue at that point, not a configuration or something like that can be resolved. Those are a lot of key pieces for me. I'm in that small, medium space now. And for us, we're always cost conscious. You guys are always very good about where things fall, planning things out, having good, strong resources so they're not wasted and we're not wasting money on things. I think that's probably where I fall on a lot of it. Recently, we've moved to an enterprise agreement. So some of our licensing changed. And one of the caveats that we had to go back and say, guys, we can change this and we're going to save some money, but we need to at least keep some stuff with SkyTerra because we want to keep that relationship. The relationship, the value add on the relationship was worth as much as the cost savings on the licensing for us. You know, it sounds silly, but you know, we try to find pieces to keep there for that reason. There's a lot of value add.
Trust is real. And I know SkyTerra always strives to be a trusted advisor to their clientele.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts, Mr. Bergeron?
Yeah, like I said, I've truly valued this relationship with Ronnie. And this inspires me to continue working on and finding more customers like him. The conversations we continue to have and the journey that we continue to have, I'm looking forward to the next decade.
This was fun, guys. Well,
I hope those listening have found some nuggets of wisdom about why you may want to work with SkyTerra, some things to consider as you approach your strategy for artificial intelligence and bringing us all back down to the level of fundamentals. Why are we doing what we're doing every day in this industry? How can we be better? Not just better for technology's sake, but better humans as we move our organizations forward into this very wild new era that we're all moving into with this technology. But we look forward to the ride and our seatbelts are buckled. If you are looking for a partner to embark on this journey, wherever you may be starting, maybe you're still on-prem. Maybe you're like, what's the cloud? What do I do next? I still have hard phones on my desk. How do I navigate this? SkyTerra can take you from whatever point you start at and bring you to whatever future state you're looking for. And hopefully Ronnie can be our testimonial to that. And again, here's to healthy, long-term relationships with our clients. We'll see you on the next podcast.
Thank you for your time today. We appreciate you listening to the SkyTerra Technologies podcast. For further information, you can find us on LinkedIn or at skyterratech.com. Have a great day.